For beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel and Aleph, we continue the sugya that we began yesterday, which was the question that was posed by Rabbi Yochanan, Hayim katan yesh lo machshava, o ein lo machshava. So the Gemara continued and said, and was challenged by Rabbi Ami, who said, I don't understand what Rabbi Yochanan's question is. Rabbi Yochanan asked about machshava, but he didn't ask about maaseh. He didn't ask about the actions of a katan. Why didn't he ask about the actions of a katan? Because it's obvious what the halacha is there, because we have an explicit Mishnah that tells us that a maaseh katan, the actions of a katan, are efficacious. So he says, well, that same Mishnah says that the machshava of a katan is not efficacious. And that's what we're up to in our Gemara. And that is, Amar Lei, the top of Yud Gimel and Aleph, machshava gredita lo kami boile. The question here is not about a plain machshava. Ki kami boile, my question revolves around machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav. That where we understand through the context, through the circumstantial evidence, we understand what he is doing. Kegon, for instance, the havakaima ola bedarom. There was an animal, an ola, that needed to be shechted, but it was sitting in the southern side. We know that kodshei kodashim, which Ola is one of, need to be shechted in the tzafon. So this katan goes ahead, v'atiyu abit tzafon, and he brings it over to the tzafon, to the north, v'shechata. So he does it in the right place. My, what's the din here? Mi da'atiyu abit tzafon, v'shechat. The fact that he brought it all the way over to the north, and then did it, ikavin lo. Then he was intending for that. What it looks like from an outsider looking in, it looks like this katan knew what he was doing. He brought over to the north because kodshei kodashim requires shchita in the north. And it looks like he was nitkaven to his shchita ta'ola. That's what it looks like. We don't know because he didn't say anything. On the other hand, maybe the other possibility of what he's doing here is dilma makom hodulo dramile, that there wasn't any space for him. Now, any space could mean that there wasn't enough space and just moved over. He wasn't happy with the first location, so he moved to the second location. So that's the question that was being posed by Rabbi Yochanan. When we have not a case of pure machshava, not a case of pure maaseh, but rather a case of machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav, place where the context and the circumstantial evidence would lead us to believe that that was the intent of the katan. And again, to repeat, we mentioned this yesterday, is machloket Rashi and the Tosafot, how to read the Gemara. Rashi believes when the question of yesh lo machshava, ein lo machshava is, when he explicitly says he's going to do something, or that he wants something to be a certain way, that's dibur. That was the question that Rabbi Yochanan originally posed. Then we came down to the secondary state, which was ma'aseh. By ma'aseh, Rabbi Ami says, well, the Mishnah says that ma'aseh works, machshava doesn't. Rashi over there says the ma'aseh that we're speaking about is an action with a dibur. It's an action where he explicitly says what he's going to do or what his intent is. He does something and he explains to us what he's doing. So dibur by itself does not work for the katan. And ma'aseh, im, dibur, ma'aseh with the machshava together, that will work for certain with the katan. And now the Gemara moves on and says, okay, this is the question of Yochanan, which is machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav, where you have a maaseh without a dibur. He doesn't explain to us what he's doing, and now we're looking at his actions and trying to determine if that's enough. Is his action, along with the circumstantial evidence, the equivalent of taking the action with dibur with an explanation of it, or not? Or maybe it's insufficient. I mean, the fact that he didn't explain it, we have to assume that maybe something else could have been, and if he doesn't explain to us what he's doing, we can't assume that he did was the correct thing. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that machshava means dibur, like Rashi. So the question of dibur, that's the question of Yochanan. Again, the Mishnah says machshava does not work by a katan. But when it says maaseh, Tosafot says that's maaseh, period. Action. If the katan does something, it's obvious and clear from his action what he's doing, that maaseh is kayam, and it works for the katan. And that's the case of that Mishnah, where he's boring out the nuts or the shelled items in order to make them into cups, and he's going to use them to hold things inside of them. It's clear that he's making a kli, and that they should be mekabel tuma over there, because the maaseh is obvious. Not that he has to say it, but his actions are obvious. Over here, the question is, machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav, is a question where the action seemingly looks like something, but it's not mukhrach. It doesn't have to be that way. So Tosafot distinguishes between the ma'asim, the actions. There's no dibur in either case. He doesn't explain to us in either case. Just in one case, like the Mishnah, the case where he's boring the holes into the nuts, in that case, it's obvious what his ma'asah is. Over here, by the Ola, there are two possibilities. There's one possibility that he's doing it l'shem Olah. The other possibility is he just didn't like where he was. He wanted to move to another location. And it's irrelevant if he tells us what he's doing or not. The question is, if we on our own can determine it or not determine it, and does that matter in terms of his ma'aseh? Even if he tells us he moved it for an Olah, that won't be enough, because we need a full-fledged ma'aseh that's mukhrach, that there's no questions about it. His statement won't make any difference here. So Tosafot says the statement of the katan is irrelevant in this case, and that's machloket Rashi and Tosafot. We'll see in a second why Tosafot disagrees with Rashi. One of the main questions that he asks on him is the next part of the sugya. And the Gemara says, Hanami Amra Rabbi Yochanan Chadazimna. Yochanan also addressed this case of Machshavatoni Kermitoch Masav Detnan. We have a Mishnah in Machshirin. Hamale perutav lagag, someone who takes up his fruits to the roof, mipnei haknima, is afraid of the pests or maggots, and he places them on the roof. Once you put them on the roof, v'yared aleim tal, and then dew settled on top of them. Well, dew is one of the liquids which is machshir the kabel tuma, that makes an item mukshar the kabel tuma. So now the dew fell on these items. Are they mukshar the kabel tuma? So there is, within hakshara the kabel tuma, there is a rule that it has to be done with intent. The water or the liquid that comes on the item has to be done with intent. Now, he does not have to actively put the water or the liquid there. It has to be similar to him placing there actively, which is the limud of ki ten ki utan, that even when it comes on passively, meaning it happens by itself like the dew, if that's what he would have wanted, then it is able to be machshir the kabel tuma. On the other hand, if he does not want it, even though it happened, we ignore it because it's as if it didn't happen. So that's the idea here. Einan b'chiyutan. They do not classify as b'chiyutan. Chiyutan, again, is dumya de kiyitain. That's even though it happened without his intervention, nevertheless, since it's not kiyitain like he would want it to happen, it doesn't work to be machshir the kabel tuma. V'im nitkaven l'kach, if his intent was that the dew fall on it, then harayehen b'chiyutan. Then it worked. When it falls on it passively, it's machshir the kabel tuma. Now here comes to the part of the mission that's important. He'alum. Cheresh shoteh v'katan. If they were taken up from downstairs by a cheresh shoteh v'katan, af al pi shenitkavnu l'kach, even though their intention for taking them upstairs was to have the dew fall on them, einan b'chiyutan. That doesn't work. It's not sufficient machshava to make them mukshar the kabel tuma. Mipnei sheyesh lehem maaseh v'ein lehem machshava, because they have actions, but they have no machshava. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this last statement in the Mishnah and says lo shna ela shelo hepach v'hen. That's only true if they did not flip them over. They did not turn the fruits over once the towel was on them. If they do flip them over once the towel is on them, then it worked. So you see from Rabbi Yochanan, the way that he qualified the Mishnah, we would say if the Chereshote v'Katan took the items up to the roof, and even though they intended for the towel to land on them and to wash them, that's not makshir et mekabel tuma, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? So this is where we run into a problem. According to Rashi, this should work because he has a maaseh. He's in action. He's taking them up to the roof. And number two is, we have the dibor. He says that's what his intention was. And according to Rashi, when you have a maaseh with the dibor, that's enough. So Rashi, if you look carefully over here, it says, on the case of Avu Pishnit Kavunachach, Lachar Shirad Atal Alehem, that it's only after the dew fell on them that they said that they wanted this to happen. It's not that they preempted the dew and said we took it up there and we intend for the dew to fall on it. It's just there, after the fact that the dew was there, they say, oh, that's what we wanted. So there, it's not sufficient. So Rashi says, why? Because, first of all, after the fact, that doesn't help. The dibor has to preempt. And number two, Rashi says, Zeinu b'chiyutan. And the next Rashi, because, v'ha maseh d'aliyah, taking them up to the upstairs is not considered enough. Lav masehu. That's not considered a maseh. D'pnei aknima he'alum. Because he took them up because of the pests or the maggots down below, not to get the dew on them. Because he only tells us that information afterwards, not at the time that he's taking them up. So Rashi over here has a little difficulty with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah sounds like they have a dibor and a maseh with the cheresh shoteh v'katan. And according to Rashi, dibor and maseh is good, and it should work, just like we saw from the Mishnah by the boring into the nuts. So Rashi is then forced to say that our cheresh shoteh v'katan only expressed their interest in the dew after the fact. And that's why it doesn't work over here, because the dibor is after the fact, and then the maseh is not a maseh of taking them up to the dew, but rather a maseh of removing them from the pest down below. Tosafot says that's not pashtut of the Gemara. The pashtut of the Gemara is that he says it beforehand. Beforehand he says, this is why I'm taking them up, and I take them upstairs, and nevertheless, it doesn't work. So mashma, even if they had intent at the time they took them up, they say that it doesn't work over here because they don't have the ability, or the appropriate machshava that's necessary to bring, or to allow for the liquids to be machshir the kabel tuma. That's not just a maseh. The maseh of bringing them up, that puts them into position for it, but it doesn't show any interaction with the liquid what's there to be machshir the kabel tuma. And that's the latter half, and that's the qualification of Rabbi Yochanan. Qualification of Rabbi Yochanan is that's only true if they didn't interact with the items once they were on the roof. But if they interact with the items that once they're on the roof, then we have a problem. So according to Rashi, now we have a maseh, they're acting, but there's no dibor, they're not saying anything. They're just flipping over the items up top with the dew on them. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, if they don't flip them over, no good. If they do flip them over, now they're interacting with the maaseh, and machshavato nikeret mitoch maaseh, we can see through his action what he really intends to do. He's intending to mix the dew in, and he's happy with it. So over there, Rabbi Yochanan says, that works. So you have an answer to your question according to Rashi, that machshavato nikeret mitoch maaseh. And according to Tosafot, so the same question that's being asked, when he goes up there and he flips them over on the roof with the dew on them. So not absolutely positive that he's interested in the dew, but it does look like that, and the evidence, the circumstantial evidence, points to that factor. And therefore, over here, it's Makshavatoni carried mitoch masav, and Rabbi Yochanan says in both these cases, it works. It works, and it's Makshav the Kabbal Tumah. On the other hand, if they don't touch it, if they don't get involved with it, it doesn't work, the Katan's out. Either according to Rashi, because the fact that he stated that he was wanted this to happen after he had already taken them up, and taking them up was to remove them from down below and not to place them up top. According to Tosafot, the problem is that there is no connection with the dew. The Ma'aseh that he took them up was, again, related to the removal from the maggots and the pests down below, but has no bearing on the dew. We have no indications that there's a Ma'aseh by the dew. They only have Machshava. We only have him speaking about it, not taking any action, and therefore it won't work. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan answering that question as well, based on his qualification of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kami bailei." This is the question: De'oraita or de'rabanan? The fact that we say machshavato nikarei mitoch ma'asav, that works, is that a din de'oraita or a din de'rabanan? What's the difference? If it's a din de'rabanan, that means it's a chumra mid'rabanan. That means only in cases where it will be a chumra do we say that the katan's machshavato shenikarei mitoch ma'asav is efficacious, because we're going in the chumra. Like over here in our case, when you're machshir the items to mekabel tumah, that's a chumra. Now you're making them ready for tumah. If a sheretz comes and touches them, now they can be mekabel tumah. That's a chumra de'rabanan. On the other hand, mid'oraita, min haTorah, how do we view the katan on a Torah level? Because on the Torah level, it would not only be the chumra, but even be the kula. For instance, the case of the shkita. The case where he does the shkita, but it's a phone. Over there, it's a kula. Because now we're going to be machshir the korban, because the katan has a machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav. So when we say, is it a din d'rabban and only a chumra? Or does it apply even to a right time? We're going to even say the kula. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's question. So that's the way we learned the whole incident here in the question. On the other hand, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok matne hochi. He had the presentation of this question in the following manner. Question that Rabbi Yochanan asked, and it's this: Rav Amar Chir Bava by Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan's question was: Katan yesh lo maseh o ein lo maseh? As opposed to the first Lishna, which says that the question of Rabbi Yochanan was about machshava, over here Rabbi Yochanan's question is about maseh o ein lo maseh. So Amar le Rabbi Ami b'tibay le machshava. So now Rabbi Ami is asking the opposite question: why, in the first case, he said when he asked about machshava, he said why didn't he ask about maseh? Over here, where he asks about maseh, he says, why doesn't he ask about machshava? Maishna machshava dolo kami baile. Machshava, he knows for certain that the katan does not have any impact. That's not ein lahem machshava. Because we have explicit mishnah that says that they don't work when it comes to machshava. Maseh nami. Maseh nami is also mentioned that same mishnah, loti baile. That's not yesh lahem maseh. The mishnah we had brought before from Kelim. Over there, we saw clearly that they do have a maseh, but ein lahem machshava. So why is Rabbi Yochanan only asking from one side? So hachi kami baile. De'oraita o de'rabanan. This din, is it a din de'oraita or a din de'rabanan? So as opposed to the first Lishna, as Rashi explains, that the question of de'oraita de'rabanan related to the question of machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav. By ma'aseh, we said it works both de'rabanan and de'oraita. By machshava, we said it doesn't work neither de'oraita nor de'rabanan. And then our question was machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav. We had Rabbi Yochanan qualify a Mishnah which said it looked like it was a Chumrah, at least mid Rabbanan at your work. In addition to that, we were asking, does it also work De'oraita Lekula? Over here, the question is surrounding the Ma'aseh, by the action of the Katan. Machshavato, we say, doesn't work neither De'oraita nor De'rabanan. But by Ma'aseh, Rabbi Yochanan had a question. Rabbi Ami says, why does he have a question? The Gemara's answer is, because he has a question on the De'oraita level. De'rabanan, he knows that, yes, the Mishnah says that the Katan has an action mid'rabanan, and that tefach behen, or the case by the boring the holes into the nuts, we see that he makes a kli with through his maseh. That's the Chumrah. The Kabel Tumah, he can't do it. Question is, does he have a maseh De'oraita? On a De'oraita level, is his action considered efficacious? And we can say it even Lekula. And the Gemara's conclusion is Upashit. And this is the conclusion to this whole sugya, which is Yesh lehen maseh. When it comes to an action and they do something like we saw with the case of making the kelim, then we say it's a good maaseh for a cheresh hotev katan that's both on a derabanan level as well as a doraita level. Ein lahem machshava, if they just have dibor, they just have machshava where they intend to do something or they want to use it for something, that has no bearing. And afilu mi derabanan, not only doraita has no bearing, but even derabanan has no bearing. Machshavato nikeret mitoch ma'asav, that which sits in between, according to Rashi, because it lacks dibur, lacks the explanation, according to Tosafot, because it's a maaseh that is not muchrach about what he's doing. Over there, midoraita ein lo, midorabanan yesh lo. Over there, we will say it's the chumrah. So midorabanan, he does have an action, whereas the oraita, it's not a good action. In our question about the Ola, it would not be a kosher Ola, because the Katan, Machshavato, Shenikir Mitoch Masav, is not considered an action on a Doraita level. So Shmuel may Rav Huna. So Shmuel asked Rav Huna a question. Over here, Tosafot points out that Rav Huna seems to be much younger than Shmuel, so why is Shmuel asking Rav Huna a question? And Tosafot says there must have been two Rav Hunas. There was Rav Huna who was older than Shmuel, a generation before Shmuel, in that interim generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim. And there was a latter, Rav Huna, who was a Talmid of Shmuel, or even a couple generations after Shmuel. So, minayin l'mitasek b'kodoshim shu pasul. How do we know that a person who is mitasek in kodoshim, that it doesn't work? And when Rashi says mitasek over here, it's kugon mitasek b'sakin l'hagbiyo. Playing with a knife, he picks it up, or the zorko, he's throwing darts at the wall. V'shachat. And by met, you know, just happens to be that he shechted something while he was doing that. B'kodoshim shalo nitke kavein l'shum shchita. He has no intent for shchita whatsoever. But Rashi says, "Aval nitkaven l'shem shchita." If he has in mind to do any shem shchita, ba'am kasher ela shelo ala lebalim shem chova. Over there, because he intended for shchita, it's a good shchita, and the kodshim are kosher. But they're obviously not ola lebalim. He didn't have those balim in mind. Something is done shelo lishma, which is it's a good korban, but it's not ola lechovata ba'alim. That's the way Rashi explains the question of mitasek over here. Tosafot, and we're going to see this again later in the Masechta, Tosafot says that's not true at all. Even if he intends to cut with this knife, that is still classified as mitasek. Mitasek, when you say that he has in mind for shchita, or that something, that's only when he has intents for the simanim themselves. It's only when he has intents to cut the simanim. He intends to cut the simanim, then already we can say that if he does it, then it's kasher, and so on and so forth, even though it's not Allah, the chuvat balim. On the other hand, if he simply is throwing the knife, and all he intends is the chaticha ba'alma, the cut in general, Tosafot says, according to the Rabbanon, that's not good enough. And that will not qualify to be good in kodshim. And there's no question here. Minayin l'mitasek. The mitasek that we're talking about here is not on that level. And you can see that in the Tosafot. It says, near the high mitasek, but kodshim, hainu, the mitkavin l'chatichat simanim. Over here, he intends to cut the simanim. V'lo l'shem zvicha, the b'chulin, kasher. Over here, but he doesn't intend to do it for a korban. So by chulin, everybody agrees that's a good shchita. Ubekodoshim pasul, by kodoshim it's problematic because it's called mitasek bekodoshim, which we'll see in a second is no good. Ve'od yesh mitasek acher, there is another terminology mitasek which we know as the mitasek of kol haTorah kula. Kegon shel kodoshim sevar shehu chulin, that he's working with the kodoshim, but he thinks it's chulin. So therefore, he's doing shchita and intends for shchita. He just doesn't know that it's kodoshim, and that's like the mitasek of kol haTorah kula. So those are the mitasek that Tosafot says that is being asked over here. Rashi, on the other hand, says that the mitasek that we're asking about here is even simply about a chaticha ba'alma, just cut. Not that he's intending for simanim, not that he's not intending for shchita. That's what we're asking about over here. So Gemara says, Shenemar, shachat et ben abakar, shei shchita l'shem bakar. Because it says in the Torah, when it comes to the olav shachat et ben abakar, it tells you what you have to have in mind when you're doing the shchita, le ben abakar. So you must have in mind that you're doing it l'shem kodoshim. So Amar lo zubi adenu, he says, that we know already. La'akev minayim. My question is, how do we know that it's ma'akev? By kodoshim we know that you need something repeated twice in order to be ma'akev. How do I know that mitasek b'kodoshim is not only problematic l'chatchilo, but even b'di'evit it's problematic and it's not a kosher korban? Amar lei, lirtzonchem tizbachu, lidatchem zvochu. That when it says lirtzonchem, lirtzonchem over here means that you must be aware. It must be with intent, tizbachu, that you do the zvicha, you do the shchita. Lidatchem. You must be aware and you must have in mind and kavanah for the shchita. And that's the second time, because we have Shachat Ben Bakar. You have it two times in Kodashim. That means that it's Le'akev. From there we know that by Kodashim, Mitasek B'Kodashim is Pasua, because we have two Psukim that tell us that it's Me'akev. The conclusion as to what is included in this Mitasek will be subject to the Machloka that we saw in Rashi and Tosafot. According to Tosafot, this is when you intended to cut the Simanim, but you didn't have in mind that it was L'Shem Zvicha, L'Shem Kodashim. By Chulin it's fine, by Kodashim it's problematic. According to Rashi, it's even if you're just intending to cut in general, that's enough to be considered. And by chulin, that'll be good. And by kodashim, that'll be problematic. The Mishnah says, shkitat oved kochavim. An oved kochavim that performs shkita, as Rashi says here, even if he does it kehilchata, and even if there is someone omed al gabab, somebody standing over him watching him do it, nevertheless, what he creates here is a nevela. Unlike every other nevela, mitama b'masa, the din of a nevela, that not only when you come into contact with it, does it convey tuma, and even one carries it, it conveys tuma. So Gemara says, nivela in. The Mishnah suggests here that the shchit of the Oved Kochavim only produces a nivela. Aval Yisur Hanoa, lo. But that does not create an Yisur Hanoa associated with this animal, meaning that it doesn't have a din of Avodat Kochavim, or to krovit Avodat Kochavim. Mantana. Who is the author of this position in the Mishnah? It's not like Rabbi Eliezer, who we'll see later on in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Chet in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, the default thought process of an Oved Kochavim is the Avodat Kochavim. And therefore, any Oved Kochavim that's involved with Shechita, we automatically assume that it's a Shechita, the shame of Avodat Kochavim. If that's the case, you would produce something here that's Asur Bana. The fact that the Mishnah says it's not Asur Bana, and only in the Vela, says that our Mishnah does not subscribe to that position of Rabbi Eliezer that Stam Oved Kochavim is L'shem Avodat Kochavim. Then Rabbi Ami Amar Hochigtani. Rabbi Ami says this is what the Diok is out of the Mishnah. Now Rashi says that not that Rabbi Ami argues on Rabbi Chiya, but he agrees with him that it's the same Diok, and this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. He just says, in addition to that, I have an additional Diok which helps us with another Braita. Jez Rabbi Ami Amar Hochigtani, Shchitat Oved Kochavim Nevela. That Shchitat Oved Kochavim is considered Nevela. Had Min, that of a Min. Now a Min here, in Rashi says, is a Min Yisrael. This is a Jewish Min. Lavodat Kochavim is classified as being done Lavodat Kochavim and would be Asur Bana. True of a min Yisrael, but also true of a min Oved Kochavim. Tomorrow we'll talk about the min on the next Amud, but a min is someone either who is aduk b'avodat kochavim, someone who is very tied in and very close to avodat kochavim. It's not he's part of the general populace, but someone who is dedicated either because he is a kohen l'avodah zarah, or because he's very involved in the avodah zarah. So a min is someone not of the normal populace that is assumed to be of the avodah zarah in general, but this is someone who particularly goes out of his way and is very close to the Avodah Zarah. So that's the diok that Rabbi Ami wants to make out of our Mishnah, that's a stam Avodah Kochavim. But when it comes to Amin, then the din is different, it's a Asur Bana. This will still not be like Rabbi Eliezer, as Rashi points out, because Rabbi Eliezer says, even a stam Oved Kochavim, his dat is Lavodat Kochavim. Whereas our Mishnah is saying that's only true of Amin, not true of a stam Oved Kochavim. The Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different reading of the Gemara, and he says that Rabbi Ami's answer here comes to say that the Mishnah does not have to be against Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer now can fit into the Mishnah. It's not so clear how, because Rabbi Eliezer makes a statement about Stam Oved Kochavim, not about a Min, but you would have to suggest in the Rabbeinu Gershom that his understanding of a Min or his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer is slightly different, and so therefore he thinks that the statement here of Rami Ami is coming to undermine what Rabbi Chiya said, that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. And that is, Tanina Lahadatan Rabbanan, our Mishnah, the Diok that we just made through Rabbi Ami and our Mishnah, helps out a Memra that we have, which is Shchitat Min, comes to the Shchitat of a Min, it's Lavodat Kochavim. We assume that it's done the shame of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Asur Bana. Pito, the bread that he makes, is like a pat kuti, has the din of a pat kuti, and we know in other places Rabbi Eliezer says that pat kuti is a basar chazir, it's just like the flesh of a pig, and therefore it's Asur. Yaino, his yain is yain nesech, it's like a wine libation la Avodah Zarah. Sifarav, the Sifrei Kodesh that he writes, the Tanakh that he writes, are Sifrei Kosmin. Rashi says these are Nevi'ei Habal, false prophets, but it means that he intends lo l'shem Hashem, but l'shem Avodah Zarah, and therefore his Svarim are burnt and cannot be used. They have no Kedusha to them. And Perotav, Tevalim. And we assume that all of his Perot do not have Trumot and Masrot removed for them. V'yeshomrim, Af Banav Mamzerim. That his children are classified as Mamzerim. Rashi says because Yeshomrim believe that he's Mafgirishto, that he doesn't particular about his wife, and therefore his wife goes out and is involved romantically with other men and produces children that are mamzerim. On the other hand, Tanakama, ishto lo mafkir, that he doesn't mafkir his wife, that's not part of the package of being a min. So amarmar, shchitat Oved Kochavim nevela. The shchit of an Oved Kochavim is nevela. V'nichu shem aminhu. If you're telling me that when it comes to a min, someone who's a duk and avodah zarah tied into avodah zarah, then it is classified like Tikrovet Avodah Zarah and it's Asur Bana, then why don't we assume in our Mishnah that the possibility that this Oved Kochavim is doing it, the Shem Avodah Zarah, that he's possibly a Min. Ein Minin Bumot Ovdei Kochavim. There are no Minim anymore amongst the non-Jewish nations. We see that there are. There are people who worship Avodah Zarah and there are people who are very involved in Avodah Zarah. So Ema amended to say this. Ein Rovd Ovdei Kochavim Minim. It's not that there are absolutely no Minim, but Ala Rov, they're not Minim. The majority of the populace is not actively involved in Avodah Zarah. There's a minority of the population is. And therefore, the Mishnah goes Achar Rov. If you have an Oved Kochavim who shechs it al Stam, it's a Nevela, but it's not classified as Takrovet Avodah Kochavim because it's only a miut of individuals that act in such a manner. We're not going to be choshesh for that miut. Savar Lakihad Amar B'Chir Ba'ava. This is like a statement that we have from Chir Ba'ava, Amar B'Yochanan. Nachrim Shebechutz La'aretz. When it comes to the non-Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael, Lav ovdei avodat kochavim hein. They really are not worshippers of the idols. Elam minhag avotayim biyadem. They really don't even think about it. It's not something that they do actively, something that where they're chasing after avodah zarah, but rather it's almost a social norm, something that's been passed down from their fathers, and so they continue to do what their fathers said to them. They're not so actively involved, and their intentions are not for the avodah zarah. Tosfot says on that we can be medayik hilkach beretz Yisrael nami. Even in Eretz Yisrael, ein adukin kolkach shiu masehem l'shem vodat kochavim. Eretz Yisrael. Based on that, we're going to infer that in Eretz Yisrael, the rule of the people also are not adukin b'avodah zarah. There are some that are very tied in, but most of them are not so actively involved, and therefore we can be medayik to say that it's only a miut. If it's a miut in our Mishnah, when there's a shkita by an ovei kochavim, we won't assume that it's the krovet avodah zarah and it will be a surah, but rather it'll just be a nevela. So I'm Rav Yosef Bar Mnumei, I'm a Rav Nachman. Ein minim b'umot ovdei kochavim lemai. When we say there are no minim amongst the non-Jewish nations, what is that halacha relevant for? Ilem l'shchita, if you're going to tell me for shchita, hashta, shchitat min di Yisrael. If you have a min Yisrael, amart asura, then it's problematic. Tovid kochavim iboi? You're going to have to ask about an ovdei kochavim. It's obvious if a min Yisrael produces tekrovet avodat kochavim, that was the diuk that we had from Ami out of our Mishnah, then certainly when it's a min ovdei kochavim, he's going to produce a problem of tekrovet avodat kochavim. Tosfos asked the question, because in other places it's not so clear that this kal vachomer is true. It might be in Yisrael, who here adopted avodah zarah, might be more chared al hadavar. He might be much more into it. And maybe a Jew is more attached to the avodah zarah, and it's not true of a ovdei kochavim. So Tosfos' answer is, that's true maybe of the general populace. But when we're talking about people that are dukim b'avodah zarah, people who have specific intent and work close and tied into the avodah zarah, over there it's clear that the ovdei kochavim is going to be much more zealous about it than the Jew, and therefore we have a kal v'chomer. If the Jew's shchita is considered to krovet avodah kochavim, then certainly the shchita of the ovdei kochavim. Ella l'moridin has to do with the halacha of moridim. So the halacha of moridim has to do with there are three different statuses of individuals. And this is talking about someone who falls into a pit that's out on the street and they're injured or they need to be helped to come out of the pit or to remove themselves from the pit. So over there, the Mishnah lays out that there are three categories. There are individuals who we help out, that we're obligated to take out and help out of the pit. There are other individuals who we kind of ignore them if they're in the pit, we don't help them. But on the other hand, we don't push them into the pit. We don't cause them to fall into these pits. And then there's a third category of individuals who we push actively into the pit, that we want to get rid of them, that we don't mind, and in some way, through Derech Bema, getting rid of them. So in that category, Hadzad Yisrael Moridin, we're talking about a mini Yisrael, where the category that's listed is that you can push them into the boar, then Ovei Kochavim Ibai, you have to tell me about an Ovei Kochavim, that they are Moridin there. So that can't be what we're talking about. So Amar Rav Ukva Racham Kabel Mehen Karban. The issue here of when we say there's no minim amongst the Ovei Kochavim relates to the issue of accepting karbanot from non-Jews. The Tanya, we have a braita, and we saw this earlier in the Masechta, which is mikem velo kulchem. Then when it comes to bringing korbanot in the Mikdash, when it comes to Israel, not everybody's korban isn't accepted. A mumar's korban is not accepted. On the other hand, kosher Israel, his korban is accepted. Lotziyata mumar. Mikem again means bachem chilakti. Amongst you, I have such a distinction. Velo b'ovdei kochavim, but not amongst the non-Jews. Amongst the non-Jews, we accept the korban, irrespective of what they are. Tzadikim, rishayim, mumarim, it doesn't matter, we accept all korbanot from them. On the other hand, by the Jews, we have such a distinction. Mimai, how do you know that's the deal? Dilma hachi kamar. Mi Yisrael, mitzdikei kabel. When it comes to Yisrael, from tzadikim, you accept. Mirshei lo tekabel. From rishayim, don't accept at all. Aval b'ovdei kochavim, when we say that they're excluded from this distinction within Klal Yisrael, klalu klalo, maybe it means that they don't have any of this. Meaning that they don't have the distinction of a tzaddik and a rasha. Nobody's allowed to bring. When it says lo sakadatcha, you wouldn't think in that way. The Tanya, we have a braita that says explicitly that they are allowed to bring korbanot in the Mikdash, which is ish. Ma talma domar ish. When the Torah says in the Pasuk that ish mi b'nei Yisrael v'agir agar b'Yisrael, that wants to bring a korban, why does it have the word ish twice? So it comes, the rabot over the kochavim, shnojim, nidarim, in the vote ki Yisrael. Comes to tell you that not only Jews can bring korbanot, but even non-Jews can bring korbanot. So we have an explicit pasuk that tells us that non-Jews can bring korbanot. So when we say that they're different than Yisrael, the only way to make them different now is to say that the Yisraelim that have this distinction between mumar, between rasha, and tzadikim, and non-mumarim, that distinction does not apply by the non-Jews. And that's what it means, ein minim. Minim are not relevant when it comes to bringing korbanot for ovdei kochavim. By Yisraelim, it will be relevant, because a min will not be entitled to bring a korban. On the other hand, an Oved Kochavim, who is a min, that will not preclude him from bringing a korban, and that's what it means, that there ain't minim b'umot Ovdei Kochavim. This is an important Rashi over here that points out that when we brought the Braita to support this position that Rav Uchva Bar Chama says, the Kabel Mehen Parban, we said, Titania, that we have a Braita. Generally, when we bring something that Amora says and it's found already in a Tanaic work, we say Tanina. We already learned this from a Tanaic work. Rashi says it's a distinction. We only say the word Tanina when we're bringing something from a Mishnah, a Mishnaic work, because there we assume that Maranim should have known the item, and therefore we'll say Tanina. Why is the Amora saying this? It's explicit in a Mishnah. When it comes to a Braita, as Rashi says, not all Amoraim knew all the Braitot. And therefore, over here, when we bring a Braita, we bring it to support this position of Rav Uchva Bar Chama. We don't say Tanina. We don't say that we already learned this in a Tanaic work, but rather say Tanya, we have a Braita that supports that position. Okay, Umitama b'masa. The Nevela is Mitama b'masa, where it says Pshita. Kevin de Nevela, hey, Mitama b'masa. That is the natural outcome of being a Nevela. One of the properties of being a Nevela is that you're Mitama b'masa. So what is the addition here in the Mishnah telling us, umitama b'masa? So Amar Rav HaChik Tani, this is what you should be mitayik from. Zu mitama b'masa. This case, we have an Ovid Kochavim that does shechita, that is mitama b'masa. B'yesh lecha acheret, shehi mitama afilu bo'el. There's another type of shechita that will end up being mitama not only b'masa, but even bo'el, like a mate, which is mitama bo'el, that'll have the same status. B'ezuzu, what is that category that does that? It's the krovet avodat kochavim. Something that was brought in the service of Avodah Zarah, that's brought to serve the Avodah Zarah, Shechita, the Shem of Avodah Kochavim, that the Kovet of Avodah Kochavim is not only Metameh B'masa, not only Asur B'ana'a, but even Metameh B'ohel. It's like a mate. Uki Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teira, and like position Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, which we'll see in a second, Igadamri, an alternative view of this, according to Rav, is Amar Rav HaHachik Tani, this is the Diyuk Yimekad Mishnah, Zu Metameh B'masa, this is Metameh B'masa, means we have this Shechita of the Ovid Kochavim is in a Vela. Vizu, and there's another item, shemetama b'masa. What's that? Yishal acheret shehi kazu shemetama b'masa, ve'enu metama b'ohel, only metama b'masa, and not metama b'ohel. Vizuzu, zu tokrovet avodat kochavim. That's the case of the tokrovet avodat kochavim. That's a sur ba'ana'a, but it's not metama b'ol amet. Uke delo ke Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. And that's against that position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. And now we have the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, the Tanya. We have a braita that we've seen a number of times in Avodah Zarah. How do we know that the krovet of chavim is metame ba'ol like a mate? Shenemar, because it says by bal peor v'yitzmedu lepal peor v'yuchlu zivchei meitim. So there it says zivchei meitim. So it calls the avodah zarah and the foods that were associated with being mukrav the avodah zarah zivchei meitim. So what is that connection between the zivchei meitim? Ma mate metame ba'ol at the krovet of chavim metame ba'ol. Just like a mate is metame ba'ohel, so too the kavod of the chamim is metame ba'ohel. And the properties of the mate are now assigned to the zivchei meitim. In addition, the Gemara in other places says that, how do we know that it's asur ba'ana? Because just like a mate is asur ba'ana, so too the tokrovet of the chamim is asur ba'ana. How do we know that a mate is asur ba'ana? That we learn out from Gzeira Sheva by Miriam, Mitat Miriam, it says b'tamat sham. And by the Egla Rufa, it also uses the word the sham, and sham tehei, Kvurata, that it has to be buried there, that it's put into Geniza, it's Asur Ba'ana, the Egla Arufa. So just like the Egla Arufa is Asur Ba'ana, so to a mate is Asur Ba'ana. And just like a mate is Asur Ba'ana, so too the Tekrovet of Avodah Chachamim is Asur Ba'ana. So there's actually two properties to the Tekrovet of Avodah Chachamim. One is that it's Asur Ba'ana. Number two is that it's Mitame Bohel. Over here, Tosavot discusses this point. Over here, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira is the author of this position, and that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. So Tosavot distinguishes between the two Limudim and says, the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira and the Chachamim is only regards to the Tuma. That whether it's metame be'ohel or not metame be'ohel, Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira says yes, Chachamim say no. But when it comes to the limud of Isur Hano'ah, that even the Chachamim agree. That the Gabi Isur Hano'ah, everybody agrees that it's compared to a mate, because it says, ve'yochlu mizivchei meitim. It's like achilat zivchei meitim, and an achilah is associated with Isur Hano'ah. So the Chachamim would agree to that limud, they just don't agree to the limud of metame be'ohel. And then Tosfot takes one step further and says, even the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira on a Doraita level, on a Derabonan level, they believe that it is Mitame Bohel. So he really narrows down the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira to say that it's only a question of on a Doraita level, is it Mitame Bohel or not? He has some questions on a Pshad, runs into some problems where it sounds like the Gemara is saying it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, even though it looks like it's a Din Derabonan. So Tosfot tries to answer some of those questions, but he really narrows down the machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. Right now, quickly, we'll just do this little Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the subsequent Mishnah on tomorrow's daf. Hashochet balayla, someone does a shkita at night. Mechena suma sheshachat shkitato kshera. A blind person who does shkita, both of those shkitot are pseder, are fine. Hashochet diyevet. When we say hashochet, hashochet means bidiyevet, that's okay. But the chatchila, we wouldn't do that. The chatchila, we wouldn't shecht at night, and the chatchila, we wouldn't give it over to suma. Very many. We have a problem. We have a tosefta that we're going to see also in the Gemara coming up. The olam shochatim, you're allowed to do shkita ben bayom, ben balayla, during the day or during the night. Ben berosh agag, even up on the roof. Ben berosh hasfina, even on the boat. So now, what are the problems with all these issues? So day and night, it's obvious there that they're telling us the chiddush is that you can still do shkita at night. The action of berosh agag, we don't worry that people are going to think that you're being makriv this animal, l'shem avodah zara. That you're doing the kochvei shemayim, you're doing to the constellations, and therefore maybe we shouldn't permit you to shecht on the roof. The answer is no, we do let you shecht on the roof. The person doesn't want to get his house all dirty, so he takes it up to the roof to have the shkita be done over there so that it can wash away the blood from the roof. And we're not choshesh for the fact that maybe he's being makrivit, the shame, the kochavim. In addition on the sfina, the Gemara later on tells us that you're not allowed to shecht into the yam or into a river. You're not allowed to shecht in there because people might think that you're doing a shkita to the sar hayam or to the sar of the nahar. Over here, Rashi says that if you're on a boat, and it's clear the reason that you're doing the shkita into the water is because you don't want to get the boat dirty, over there that's permitted to shecht in that way because no will be choshesh that you're doing it l'shem ha-sarayam because the reason it's clear that you're doing it is not to get the boat dirty. Tosafot disagrees and says that even in that case, it's not mutar. It's never mutar to do shkita into the water, but rather you do it on the boat and you let the blood drip down the walls of the boat. So you don't do it directly into the water. You're doing it in such a manner that it drips down the side of the boat, and over there that's permissible because we don't say that's done l'sarayam. But anyway, we have this braita which suggests that you're allowed to do it at night, and over there it sounds like l'olam shochatin, that it's a fine shchita, it's l'chatchila, you can do it at night, and our mission says b'diavet. So Amar Papa, that's not a problem, it depends what the night looks like. Bisha avuka kenegdo, when you have a bright light, you have a torch, and night looks like day, that night you can do it l'chatchila. Our night, what we're talking about over here, is when it's dark, when he doesn't have good lighting, when he doesn't look like daytime. In Rav Ashi, Deikanami, we can make a diok out of the two brightot. Because, Iktani hotam dumi yom. Over there it says, ben bayom ben balayla. Layla is similar to yom. When layla looks like yom, then it's good. V'halcha, in our case, by the Mishnah, where it's only b'diyevet, because it's dumi yadisuma. It's compared over here to a suma, to a blind person. Over there, it's only b'diyevet, that's going to be muteret, not l'chatchila shmamina. Okay, we'll stop with that.